Hey, hey, it's Shay Keister, and I'm your host for the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast, where we connect you to ranchers and beef industry enthusiasts who can help you build a more profitable operation and improve your lifestyle. Are you looking for a community of ranchers who support and challenge you to be more profitable and proactive? Then sign up for our monthly Rancher Mind events. Rancher Minds are mastermind events for ranchers to come together once a month and find solutions for their own and the industry's challenges. Stay connected by following Cattle Convos on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and never miss an episode or event update by signing up for our newsletter on casualcattleconversations.com/newsletter. If you get value out of this episode or any episode, drop a comment or tip me by using the link in the show notes. With that, let's see who our guest is today and connect you to a new resource to improve your own operation and lifestyle. Hey folks, today we are going to talk about tackling the labor challenge that we all face. Now, we all know that finding the right person to work on your ranch is tough. Trying to find qualified individuals who are dedicated to our line of work seems impossible these days. But the good news is that I have a resource to share that can lessen this burden for you. RanchWork.com is a ranch-focused and dedicated job board. Founded in 1998, RanchWork.com has been dedicated to connecting qualified candidates to potential employers. Receiving over 50,000 visitors per month on their website, RanchWork helps cow-calf producers and dude ranches find folks who are hungry to work. This family-owned and operated company is based out of the USA and wants to help you find your next qualified hired hand. With both free and paid job posting packages that go live in under 24 hours, RanchWork.com can help you. That's RanchWork.com. And with that, let's take a little bit to talk about who our guest is today. I mean, thank you, RanchWork, for bringing this episode to us. But on this episode, when we talk about tackling the labor challenge, we are really going to visit with Lance Cox. And now Lance is going to tell us about how to keep a hired hand. He has worked for several ranches, and today he's going to share his perspective as a hired man and what makes him stay on the operation and which leadership and management styles are effective for him. Now remember to DM me for more resources on this content, whether that's about this episode with Lance or ranch work or any other labor-related resources. And if you're looking to book me for public speaking, please send me a DM as well. And in the show notes, there will be more resources there, as well as a place to tip me if you like this episode or rate the show. With that, let's learn how you can keep your next hired hand around longer. Thank you for hopping on the show today. It's great to have you on here.
You bet. I'm glad to finally be on the phone with you. We're going to make this happen finally. So
I know you've been a part of the journey since, about that first month, I think you've been a follower. So that's been awesome.
It has been. It's been really fun to watch your podcast grow and become what it is today. And I think it's pretty exciting, and it's very important to the ag community. And what you're doing is fantastic. And you've got my full support as much as I can. And I'm glad to finally be a part of it. So here we are.
Well, thank you, Lance. So I think our audience needs to get to know you a little better. So would you talk about your background in ranching?
Background in ranching for the audience. All right. Well, I would be the fifth generation in my family on the Cox side that's been involved with agriculture in some sort of way. My great-great-grandpa started small. My great-grandpa expanded off of that. And my grandpa actually moved off of, I think it's our third homestead, and started Chippewa Creek Simmentals in Grass Range, Montana back in 1967. So it's always been in my blood. My dad has also moved back to the place, and in 2011, me and him moved back and been ranching pretty much my whole life, you know, not constantly, but for the most part since 2011, minus 3.5 years from my time in the Army, I've been around cows or horses or livestock of some sort throughout my entire life. And yeah, grew up on small cattle operation and grass range and raised Simmental cattle there for a long time, and they still got that operation going today, and it's exciting to see its future holds there. And yeah, so that's kind of the background on that. Other side, you know, I think I've lived in, by the time I graduated high school, I'd lived in like 17 different homes. So my folks bounced around quite a bit. My mom's been in the fair industry for years, and so I've always had that background as well, and being involved with that sort of stuff has been really cool. I was in 4-H for 10 years and tried getting FFA going in Little Grass Range, Montana, and they now have it, so that's exciting. So yeah, it's life's crazy, and I graduated high school in 2015 and decided I didn't have enough money for college, and the only way to get that paid for was to go into the service. So I was a 91 Bravo, which is a wheel mechanic, for 3.5 years, and enjoyed my time and made some of the closest brothers I've ever had in my entire life, and really enjoyed that. I got out in 2019 and went to college, and that's where I met you. So.
Absolutely, and thank you for your service, Lance.
I appreciate that. And I don't want to sound like some battle-hardened veteran, because I am definitely not. There's guys out there that deserve a lot more credit than I ever will even come close to taking or anything like that. So hats off to those guys that came before me and set the way. And so that's kind of the military side, but yeah.
Well, you have quite the extensive background and passion and legacy in ranching. I mean, fifth generation, that's a long time. So what are you doing today? Because you're not currently back on your home place.
So currently I work for Stevenson's Diamond Dot out of Hobson, Montana. I work for what I consider my second family, Clint and Anna Stevenson. Long background in Black Angus cattle. I know that I probably can't say that on your podcast, but there it is. And just ranching, and I'm starting to get into a little bit more cattle sales. And so we're planning on starting a cattle broker side with the Diamond Dot ranch, as far as selling calves down south to feed yards, packing plants, and, you know, if they go get backgrounded, they get backgrounded. So we're going to tackle that, myself, Clint, and his son, Carson. Us three are all going to tag team on that one and try and get that going and expand the ranch even farther as far as, you know, being involved in cattle as much as we possibly can, and trying to help other people out, you know, is kind of the main goal with that. And having, you know, my background of going to college for the short amount of time I did, down in Nebraska, I was able to meet some really awesome people down there that either have connections to feed yards, and or they themselves run a feed yard or background operation or something like that. So that's been a very, very big asset to have under my belt, I guess, if you will. You know, and I'd probably still be going to college right now had it not been for, you know, the virus and everything. I'm not going to dive into that one, but shortly after that, my sister unfortunately passed away in a car wreck. So I moved back to Northeast Montana, and I worked for my brother-in-law up there for a little bit. And one of his good buddies, Michael Crandall, I worked on their operation for, gosh, 9-10 months. I'm not sure how long it was exactly. I'd been away from home for 6 years, and kind of decided it was time for me to go back closer to home, and that's when I took the job with Diamond Dot, and I've been loving it ever since. So it's been exciting, and there's a lot of opportunity there for, you know, a ranch hand like myself, and that's exciting. So,
yeah. Well, that's awesome to hear, and really what I wanted to talk to you really about today is we all know the labor shortage and issue in ranching is huge, and it's a problem, and it's hard to find good help. It's hard to keep good help, but I'd really want to hear your perspective on the ranch hand side of things. So you've worked on multiple operations as a ranch hand, and what would you say is the main thing that really makes you want to stay at a place?
You know, I would like to think that I'm speaking on behalf of a large group of people here when I say this. But, you know, for me, number one is going to be the family atmosphere. I think that is very crucial as far as, you know, being on a place for a long time and enjoying it. For me, every place I've ever worked for, and I think this is critical in somebody that's wanting to get into, you know, ranching, however they find a way in. One thing you have to keep in mind is whatever place you are working on, you have to think of everything as your own as a ranch hand. And I think that is absolutely critical as far as being a ranch hand in general. Now, as far as, you know, staying on a place for a long time and finding work ethic, you have to be able to work with other people. I mean, if you can't do that, you probably won't last long, and you might, you know, you might be in a spot where you find yourself fixing a lot of fence or doing something like that, and that's great, you're out by yourself, but odds are you're going to end up working cows and, you know, processing them or moving cows with other people, and you're going to have to communicate. So if you're not really a people person and you want to go work for a large operation that's got, you know, let's say 10 employees, 10 of the ranch hands, you're going to have to figure out how to get along with people in order to enjoy what you're doing. Go ahead.
So at the beginning there, you kind of brought up a really good point of how as a ranch hand, you need to think of everything as your own because, you know, take care of it like you would want it to be treated if it was your own, right? But on the reverse side of that, how else do you navigate it because it isn't your own and you're not the sole decision maker? How do you navigate those two different mindsets? Maybe not two different mindsets, but you know what I mean. Two different ways of looking at it.
Well, I guess kind of how I was raised, you know, you do what you're told. You don't ask questions. You know, I when it comes to that, I guess I'm always the type of person that I'm always looking for a better way to do something. You know, whether it's something simple as pounding a T-post in or moving cows, you know, I'm always open to other people's opinions and what they have to say. Even if I don't agree with it, I still want to ask those questions. And, you know, sometimes I might come across as dumb in that aspect. And, you know, in some cases I might be a little bit. I was in the Army for crying out loud. So I guess the biggest thing is you do what you're told, you don't ask questions. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, if you're in a spot where you can, you know, step in and say something, then by all means go ahead and voice your opinion. But you know, there's so much change in the egg industry and that sort of stuff that there's always room to learn and grow, and that's really an awesome thing about egg. We are evolving immaculately, you know, since even the 80s, really. I mean, cattle judge and the way you feed them, the way you work them, everything. It's constantly evolving. And I think in this industry, if you can't be willing to learn from whatever you're told, then you might not work out very long. So,
yeah, there definitely is value. And I mean, that kind of goes back to the point of this podcast too, like sharing the experiences of others. There is a lot of evolution, but there's a lot of value in that experience as well.
Yes, and I think, you know, when it comes to the older generation, you know, like my grandpa or something like that, you know, they've been set in their ways of you know, how to do things. And I think the next generation, you know, our generation, the people that are willing to get out there and learn and work hard, that can, let's say, go back to their place and improve on things, I think that's going to set you up for more success than keeping things the same that they've always been. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think it's kind of unfortunate, but a lot of people are stuck in the same trend or the same way of doing things, in the cattle industry and even so on the farming side of things too. It's so ingrained, you know, this is the way it's always been done. And, you know, I've seen quotes where that's the most expensive saying in agriculture is that's the way it's always been done. So that's how we're going to do it. And I think that's very detrimental sometimes to operations.
Oh, definitely. I agree with that. And legacy is important, but we have to remember that those pioneers who started that legacy were innovators themselves. That's how they survived.
Absolutely.
So,
100% correct.
Yeah. So, before you had mentioned that it's important that you get along with people and that you're somewhat of a people person, or at least maybe if you even are an introvert, that you can at least still work with people, right? So what's been an effective relationship style between you and your managers, or even just an effective communication style?
You know, I think it's important to, as far as a ranch hand perspective goes, to ask, you know, because ranching, you might go to bed one night and the next morning the cows are out and whatever you had planned for the next day doesn't happen. And I think it's important on our perspective as far as committed, you know, hey, what, you know, ask your boss, what do you want done? How you want it done? What are some of the things, like some of the tools you'd recommend using, you know, whatever, because at the end of the day, it's still their place. And, you know, things might hit the fan and you're out of job, but at least they know that, hey, that fence was built the way that they wanted it. At the end of the day, they own that property. So that's kind of my take on that.
So what about on the flip side, where, like, how do you like your manager communicating with you?
I think just being open and honest. You know, I think it's very important for, it's hard to say because I've really never had, you know, I've never been in a manager position since, you know, the service, of over people, so it's kind of hard for me to, you know, put that into the right terms or whatever. But I think as far as a manager telling you how to do something and communicating, that's, at the end of the day, that's on them. You know, you can ask as much as possible as far as how you want things done, and odds are, you know, I can't say I've ever been on a place where, you know, and this goes as far as a whole, I've never been on a place where the owner says, I don't care how it's done, just go do it. Like, that's really never happened, because they still have that inclination of, hey, like, this is my place, I need it done this way. So as far as that goes, I guess the communication side is on.
So with that kind of manager style, is it something where you prefer to have a little more freedom, or do you find it more effective to just be given that list and say, this is how you do it? Or do you like the freedom to be able to make just a little bit of your own decisions in some scenarios?
My mentality, for me personally, and other people might be different. You know, some people, they have to be told you know, step by step process on how to fix fence or how to build fence or something like that, you know, or how to work cattle. For me, if somebody lays out, you know, Monday I want you doing this, Tuesday this, so on so forth throughout the week, and we get to Sunday, and you know, I've accomplished all those tasks. That for me, I feel like I would much rather have the freedom in doing that than necessarily, you know, a day to day or a project by project. But then again, it's ranching, and you never know what could happen. You might end up with this blizzard, and you're out there for, God bless you if you are, but 36 straight hours and tending to the cows and, you know, during calving time or putting out straw, making sure everything's staying warm or, you know, something like that. So trying not to chase the rabbit hole too much. I'm horrible about that, but.
Hey, it all makes sense, Lance. And I'd agree. It definitely would depend on the person as far as that style. So what advice do you have for other ranch hands who are trying to find, you know, the right place for them when they're maybe when they're in that interview process or visiting with the manager beforehand to make sure that it's going to be a fit for them? Because those personality differences, that's important.
Yeah, I think if somebody's looking for the right place, like I said in the beginning, everybody's different. For me, I want that family atmosphere and because at the end of the day, ranching is family oriented. I mean, it has been for years. That's why ranch is getting passed down to the next generation constantly. You know, and I hate to see it when a place has been in one family for, you know, 5, 6, 7 generations, and for some reason they get sold or, you know, hard times hit and everybody has to sell out. I've seen that a little bit this summer with the drought in Montana. But for a ranch hand perspective, you know, find that family atmosphere and somebody that wants to help you improve more than just the day-to-day fixing fence. Like somebody that, you know, for an example, Clint and Dan are going to send me and Carson to AI school down in Kansas here in January. I mean, it's simple stuff like that that they want to improve you and help you be successful and not just keep you in the same spot for the rest of your life. I think that is very important. If you get in with an operation that wants to see you succeed and you know, maybe Lord willing, someday you end up with your own place or your own cows and that sort of stuff. I think that is very, very important. And I am very, very blessed. And I thank the good Lord every day for putting me where he has, because I have those opportunities in front of me with where I'm at. I just have to go pursue them. You know, and I don't want to sound cocky or arrogant. I think I'm willing enough to learn, and I'm hungry for agriculture, and I love it. It's in my blood, and for me, I'm in the right spot. And you know, the only way that I tell them all the time, the only way I think I'd ever leave is if I got the phone call to go back home and run the operation all. So until then, I'm going to make the best of every situation every single day and give it my all whenever I'm at work. And odds are when I'm not at work, I'm thinking about work and, you know, thinking about how I can improve myself to make the whole operation better. That's just kind of my mentality. Other people are different. Everybody's got their own mindset. You know, some people are fine with you know, showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock and going home at 4 or 5 o'clock and, you know, being with the family if they've got them, or the bunkhouse, and let's say they're in Nevada and they're doing nothing but cowboying, you know, that it's a whole nother atmosphere, a whole nother animal we're not going to tackle today. But yeah, I think it's just, you got to find a place that is willing to help you out and, you know, accomplish your goals in life. And if you find one, that's like that, stick with it, and don't make anybody mad to the point where they want to get rid of you too. So I think that's important.
I think those are all great points, Lance. And I mean, something to really pull out of everything you just said there was that, you know, you have the opportunity to improve yourself, go to AI school, do all of those things and improve personally. And that's something that other businesses do for their employees. And ranch businesses should really be no different. I mean, that self-advancement, whether it's a skill or a certification of some sort, that's important.
Absolutely. And I think like doing things with AI, with going to AI school and stuff like that, you know, we have three people in the place that are qualified that know how to AI right now. As far as I'm tracking, we have three people. One of those is the boss man himself, Clint. The next is a guy by the name of Matt Ike. I hopefully have permission to say his name on here, but Matt's been around with the place for, gosh, 25 years. And the other person is Morgan Bellamy, and she's in charge of the herd health and everything. And those two, you know, they work their tails off in AI school, in AI season. So when Carson and I go to AI school, you know, we're going to be pretty green and have no idea what we're doing to start off with. But it's one of those things that, by my understanding, is repetition, and over time you'll get good at it. But it'll take the load off of those two, so that way they're not so stressed and having to put in as many hours as they do, and it'll help them out a lot. And in turn, it's really going to make the operation a better place too, because you know, we'll be able to go out and AI for other people and help our neighbors out in that terms, you know, in those terms as well. So it's...
What advice do you have for ranchers who are trying to find help for their operations?
Oh, that's a tough one. And, you know, I don't want to beat up on our generation, because there is a lot of really hardworking people that are in our generation. And finding the folks that are our age that are willing to work as hard as it takes to be on a ranch is very difficult. And it's... when you find somebody good, as far as they're, you know, hiring somebody out, when you find somebody good, I think it's, you know, kind of common sense and common knowledge, you want to make sure you hold on to those people. Now, the ranching industry, people come and go all the time. I've seen operations that have hired and fired and had people quit or leave for various reasons. I've seen an operation that had 26 people hired on and off in 5 years. So, I mean, people come and go all the time, and it works out or it doesn't. And I mean, everybody's got their own reason for staying or leaving. And as far as finding good help, it's really hard, because certain ways that the government has everything set up and that sort of stuff with welfare is ridiculous. But so once you find somebody that's good, you know, a lot of people that have ag backgrounds that grew up on a farm or a rancher that understand what it takes to be involved with a place, I think that is the first place to start looking. You know, if they want to do that, they will pursue it and they'll be there. I'm on that boat, and you know, kids coming out of college too that were on an ag background, I think it's very important for them to step away from home for a few years and go work for other places. You know, I'm not saying necessarily bounce around every 6 months or whatever, but you know, give it 4 or 5 years before you go back home and take what you learned at those places and apply it to your place back home, if you will. And if you have that opportunity and that luxury of going back home, you know, some people like myself obviously don't have that. So we're willing to go and work for other people and other outfits and make the best of it. So it's exciting. That's kind of my advice for for ranchers that are looking to hire people. And right now it's tough. You know, it's not just in agriculture. It's all across the board. It's hard to find people that are willing to work. And that's kind of a downfall in our generation. But like I said, there's a lot of really good people and a lot of good kids coming up that are starting their own businesses and that sort of stuff and are willing to do the work to make things happen. So I'm not going to bash on us completely all the time, but that's about all I got to say about that.
Well, Lance, I think you said a lot of great things in there, but I'm going to maybe argue with you a little bit there. It's important to find people with ag backgrounds because, like you said, there's people like yourself who maybe there's not room to return home or whatever the various situation may be. But I think what's neat and actually very powerful are the individuals who want to become involved and learn who don't come from an ag background. Because from an advocacy standpoint and really sharing our beef story, which makes it a whole marketing standpoint, those people are truly the connectors who can help share the story of beef and market beef to a broader audience.
Absolutely. You know, and I think too, Shay, you know, we went to college with a few people that, you know, grew up inner city and had the thought of, you know, being involved in ag. And I think that is absolutely crucial to the ag industry in itself, is getting the people that are on the inner cities, you know, out on the ranch or on the farm and experiencing how things operate and understanding where their food comes from. Because, you know, my time in service, a lot of people had no idea where, you know, how in the world did the leather get on their shoes, or how did the meat get from, you know, their plate or from the place, the store? How did the meat get from a store to their plate? You know, how did that happen? Where was it before the store? You know, they can't exactly make it at Albertsons or Walmart or wherever you shop at. So regardless of what anti-meat people would say, but that's it's very, very, very critical and very important to have people from inner cities and non-background of being in agriculture to get involved with agriculture. And for the most part, I'm always willing to teach people about it, because it's something I enjoy doing, is sharing information on agriculture. And I think that's do so much about getting on this podcast. So, all right,
well,
it's been fun.
Yeah, so another question here for you: what would you say is the right mindset for both managers and ranch hands to have when it comes to understanding the ranch hands' role on the operation? And I know you've touched on it a little bit, but what do you think that mindset is for understanding each one's role and how they can work together?
You know, for me, it kind of goes back to a military standpoint. If my leader, or my boss, my NCO or my boss is willing to work as hard as I am day in and day out, I think that right there in itself will say a lot about, you know, being on the same page. And, you know, our generation's now coming up and coming back to the place or whatever, and the guys before us, they've done their time. I was raised to the point where if you're 21 years old and somebody's pounding in a post, you know, with let's say a railroad tie with the spud bar, and, you know, and he's 45 or 50, that's not right if you're just standing there watching him. You need to jump in there and take that away from him, despite of what he says. I think that's very important. Because odds are the guys that are older than we are by, you know, 20, 30 years, they've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and it's our time to do that. And Lord willing, if you raise your kids upright, they'll do the same for you when it's your turn to put the tampon bar in somebody else's hand. So I think as far as that perspective, you know, the older generation, they've worked hard just like we have or are willing to. And so you have to understand that as a ranch hand. And in a lot of places, odds are the guy that hires you, he owns it, cares more about it than you do. So he's going to be out there longer than you will. And when that happens, that is awesome to see. I have been on places where that hasn't happened, and I got to tell you, it's very agitating. I've been in the military, and I've had NCOs that are horrible, and they take care of themselves before their troops, and that is wrong. We're pegging out on that speedometer right there of on the wrong level, so that doesn't sit very well with me when that happens. But I think as far as the ranch hand, if you find a place where the boss is willing to put in the work, it's already done the work, in years past, it's pretty easy to see that. Then you're in the right spot. You better be happy with where you're at. So.
Well, that's a lot of great insight, Lance. And as we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience today, all the listeners? Anything, last thoughts?
I think... as far as, ranching and agriculture in general can be depressing. There's months where you might be alone, day in and day out by yourself, and it gets depressing. And I think, I'm not trying to make it sound like agriculture people aren't resilient, but I think mental health is very important in the ag industry, and taking care of yourself is very important. Need to make sure that you are happy with where you're at. And if you wake up every day and you go to work and you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And, there's some days I get put in a tractor, I feel like that. I'm working, but there's other days when, I'm horseback and moving cows. I think to myself, man, I'm really getting paid to do this. So as far as that goes, I think taking care of your health mentally and physically is very important, and having a firm belief in the good Lord up above, because if it wasn't for him, nobody would be here. So having faith in God and spread the word about Jesus is very critical too. So that's probably my advice for the consensus. And I guess one last thing is wash your hands, say your prayers, because germs and Jesus are everywhere.
Well, thank you very much for that, Lance, and for being on the show today. I'm sure there are many listeners out there who will appreciate your perspective with your hands-on role as a ranch hand and your idea of what makes you want to stay and your thoughts on the matter, because that's a new perspective for the show. So I really appreciate it.
Awesome. I really appreciate and enjoy watching what you've done with everything. This podcast is booming, Shay. It's taking off, and it's exciting to see such a good friend being successful. I know it hasn't been easy, and if it's not worth it, if it wasn't easy, it wouldn't be worth it. I'll put it that way.
Well, thank you very much, Lance.
And that's a wrap on that one. Thank you, Lance, for serving our country and sharing your experiences in the ranching world. Folks, remember to comment, rate the show, and tip the host. All of that can be found in the show notes area, just to make sure I know you like what I'm putting out, or to offer suggestions on other episode topics or speakers. With that, you take care and have a great day. Now, we all know that finding the right person to work on your ranch is tough. Trying to find qualified individuals who are dedicated to our line of work seems impossible these days. But the good news is that I have a resource to share that can lessen this burden for you. RanchWork.com is a ranch-focused and dedicated job board. Founded in 1998, RanchWork.com has been dedicated to connecting qualified candidates to potential employers. Receiving over 50,000 visitors per month on their website, RanchWork helps cow-calf producers and dude ranches find folks who are hungry to work. This family-owned and operated company is based out of the USA and wants to help you find your next qualified hired hand. With both free and paid job posting packages that go live in under 24 hours, ranchwork.com can help you. That's RANCHWORK.com.